I'm Peggy Pirro, and this is Food From Here. My guest on this episode grew up in Evansville and went to Joshua Academy and Faith Heritage Christian School, and then over to Henderson for high school. She attended the culinary program at Sullivan University in Louisville and worked in food service in Louisville and in Georgia before coming back to Evansville, getting involved in her Teepee Park Neighborhood Association, and eventually starting her own food business. Roxanne Dubai, who goes by the name Roxanne Dub on Facebook, calls her catering and hospitality business Peace For You, and we talk about how she landed on that name and what it means to her to share her food with others. At the end of our conversation, she gives us her quick take on a classic American recipe, though I have to tell you she was a little cagey about her secret sauce, which just means you, dear listener, can riff all you like when you make it. Roxanne brings a lot of fresh energy and an activist perspective to the local food scene, and I think you're going to enjoy our conversation. I wonder if we could start with you telling me a little bit about the food that you grew up with. Like, who cooked in your home, and did you have family meals, and were there things that you liked, things that you really, you know, didn't like that were put on the plate, and were there food rules? Let's start there.
Okay. Well, thank you for having me today. And some stuff that I ate growing up, like, it was just, like, traditional American food. My mom, she was good at, like, grilling and stuff like that. She would do barbecue chicken. She grilled pizzas one time. I thought that was pretty cool. But mainly the cooks was, like, my granddad. It seemed like he cooked through the weekdays, and then my grandma would cook on the weekends. That's my grandparents' Dunny High. But the Calhoun side, you know, my grandma Calhoun, she would do, like, all the cooking. So some stuff I just did not like. Turkey growing up, yeah. I just couldn't stand it. Unless my uncle Teddy did fried turkey, then I could, you know, that was all right. Cranberry sauce and dry biscuits.
Yeah.
Can't stand it.
Even now?
Even now. Like, well, turkey, I use, like, ground turkey. I cook with that, but you know, roasted turkey, if it's dry, I just can't tolerate it. And eggs, actually. I'll eat boiled eggs, but I don't eat any other form of the egg.
Yeah?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you use eggs in your cooking?
Oh, definitely.
Okay.
It's just, I think it's a texture thing, kind of like cottage cheese. Yeah. I just, no.
Yeah. But a good hard-boiled egg, now that's okay.
Yes, I'll eat that.
Right.
Make a deviled egg with it or stuff like that.
Did you have rules in your family about food, about cleaning your plate, about eating at a specific time, coming to the table, all those things?
Definitely. So one of the food rules was, like, I mean, we to an extent didn't get to choose what we ate. You eat what you're served. And also my granny used to say, don't let your eyes be bigger than your stomach. So, you know, his food was just really good. And I'll be like, well, can I get some more? He'd be like, all right, girl, your eyes are getting bigger than your stomach. So things like that. And then also I remember one night we were having lasagna, which was one of my favorites. But just for some reason, I didn't feel like having it. And he's like, okay. So I fell asleep and I woke up dreaming about food. And he's like, I bet you want to eat now, don't you? And I ate. So.
Well, that's good that the rules were flexible enough to let you eat, you know, when you were actually hungry and ready for it. Yeah. That's good. It sounds like there was a lot of food interest in your family, that there was interest in preparing and enjoying food. But beyond that, what inspired you to get into food service?
You know, really just heavy influence on watching Food Network with Mom, different stuff like that. The classics, Emeril Lagasse, you know, John DeLorenz, Rachel Ray. And so she would work from 7:30 to 7:30. And so I remember, like, being 8 years old and literally just cooking breakfast for her. First time making an omelet was a mistake, and so ever since then it was like that, just a spark inside of me that never left. So I was like,
tell me about that mistake.
Okay, so you know, I could only do so much and stuff like that or whatever. They didn't let me do too much stuff, but eggs was one of them. And so I was trying to make her just scrambled eggs and everything, and she called me. And so I had just, you know, did my mix and poured into the skillet. So by the time I came back, it was a solid, but it wasn't burnt. So then I was like, okay, so I'm just over here just trying to figure it out. And then I flipped it onto her plate, and I was like, oh, I made an omelet. So that right there just started all. They started buying me children cookbooks and stuff like that, and just went from there.
Yeah, it's funny that mistakes can yield an aha moment like that, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. And then you went to Sullivan?
Yes, ma'am.
For culinary school. Talk to me a little bit about what that was like and maybe how it prepared you or didn't prepare you for the work that you're doing now.
So with Sullivan, what I learned through them was, I mean, it kind of was like an onion of what I learned from them. So many layers. For one, my final semester, I didn't get to graduate because of I didn't have a cosigner. So that showed me the reality of working and education, you know. But also what Sullivan taught me, I respect the food knowledge of it and everything that I gained. But it also showed me going straight from high school that, I mean, I'm seeing kids my age that's just way beyond. And I'm like, wow. So I didn't have the confidence yet and stuff. So now rolling over to Peace for You full time, I respect everything that I learned. And now I'm like years ago started gaining that confidence of which I seen at Sullivan to where now I can execute some of the stuff that they taught then.
Did you find your fellow students, were they older than you were, or did they just come with more experience into the classroom?
I feel like some of them were about the same age, but a lot of them were older. But I think it was just kind of personally me. It was a shock from, you know, small Evansville and Henderson County. Well, Henderson County's big, but, you know, getting exposed, like, not to much, and then all of a sudden going to fine dining and fusion. And, I mean, I even worked the Kentucky Derby. So working with the Stella Artois booth, and we're turning mashed potatoes into a mousse. Like, I was like, what? So things like that, they kind of was like, it was cool, but can I do it? Uh-huh. Like, you know, so that's where I was at with it at that age. I was only, like, 18.
Yeah.
So.
Can I take you back to something you said about a cosigner?
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
So at one point, my father was my cosigner. But so it was between my sister, who's now a doctor, mm-hmm. and then me, mm-hmm. of who, you know, could get their college paid for, basically.
Oh, you're talking about your student loans.
Right, finances.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I'm caught up now.
All right. So that's what did it. And yeah. You know, and I thank God that one of my last chefs I had was Chef Woolams. And I'll never forget what he said. He was like, at the end of the day, if two people are up for an interview for a position, I'm not going to hire the college grad just because they have that diploma. Mm-hmm. He's like, I'm going to hire who ultimately has the skills all across the board. So, I mean, he was an amazing professor. Like, he even set up kind of like a hidden camera to see whether we would be diligent, which is something my mom did instill in me, diligence, you know, doing the right thing when no one's looking. You walk into the kitchen, first thing you should do is wash your hands.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless, we don't know whether it's lab or not, whether we're cooking or not. And so he set up a hidden camera to see how many of us was going to do it. And he was about 5 minutes late after the bell. And he asked, and some people either got up and randomly just did it, or some people just kept seated. And so he played that camera back and then gave us a little speech afterwards. Like, wow. Yeah. So he was pretty cool. Kept him on my mind.
The things that he instilled in you,
mm-hmm.
specifically, I think the idea of I'm not going to hire the college graduate over the non-college graduate. I'm going to hire the skilled person or the person who will fit with my kitchen.
Right.
Did you find that to be true after you got out of college?
I found it to be true, but I don't want to take away going to college because I definitely... Culinary is a science, it's an art, you know, and there's a lot of, I mean, learning your pairings and all that stuff like that. It's pretty important, like, you know. And so I wouldn't take that away. But also, I mean, I'm only looking from a certain standpoint because I also had the opportunity to work at the Ritz-Carlton in St. Louis. And so, I mean, hey, if you have that training for a certain amount of years, I wouldn't discredit that person as a chef either.
Can you tell me a little bit about that, working at the Ritz?
So they had a temp agency that was only hospitality services in St. Louis. And I had just moved back home from Georgia. And this is about 2015, 2016, the November of. So I just was like, did I really just come back to Evansville? Like, you know, so this time I got my grandparents' blessing. Like, you know what? You have been away for a while. I was gone for 3 years. And they said, well, just do a trial run in St. Louis if that's truly what you want to do. So I worked through a temp agency that was hospitality services, and they sent me to the Ritz-Carlton, like, my first week just straight. And so by the time the second week came, actually, to pause right there, we got to do a banquet for the NAACP. And I'm like, so now look at, you know, how it comes back around that I'm working with the NAACP in Evansville. I'm like, wow. But I was the one that was putting the asparagus on top of the plate. So, you know, the height, that's the first thing you see. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, it was just a long table, just chefs on both sides, like the executive chefs just standing there, arms crossed, just watching us. And I'm just over here like the temp agency girl doing, I'm knowing that this part is important. And I'm just like separating the, you know, overcooked asparagus because it was cooking quantity. So I'm doing what I'm doing. And someone was like, okay, girl, like, you know, before you know it, they want to hire me on by my second week there. But I seen a man who was clearly way older than me, and he was struggling because they had to do a cooking test in order to get hired. And he's just over here, looked like he was making some type of steak and then some type of sauce he's putting in the blender and different stuff. He's just sweating bullets. And I'm like, yeah, no. That's it. Let me just keep learning.
So a couple of weeks at the Ritz-Carlton and then back to Evansville?
Then back to Evansville, yeah.
Came back to Evansville.
Yes.
And what was on your mind then?
Oh, did I make a mistake? Did I make a mistake again? But ultimately, I moved back because of my health. So that's another reason why I'm an advocate for mental health, because I've went through things. And so my grandmother, actually, we were driving past St. Mary's. And I think, I don't know if they had like some type of board or something out there that was like, well, how about dietary? So I tried there, and that's where I gained my culinary confidence. I got 3 promotions in 1 year under Chef Andrew, who's a Culinary of America Institute graduate and stuff. So it was pretty cool. Went from retail to, they called it expedition chef. So that's where I got to do like my fusion one day and stuff. And then they called me into the office, and I'm thinking like, well, I know I'm not in trouble because I was still so young and just goofy, wasn't doing too much of nothing. And they called me in there to show me the numbers of how the sales had went up like drastically since I've been the chef, especially over, we would have like general style stir fry and stuff like that to where I'm making my own sauces. So they just wanted to show me that and be like, hey. Yeah. And my final promotion at that job was catering coordinator. So that's kind of where that came into play. So.
And you got into that and found something about it that spoke to you.
Yes. Like, well, ultimately, I just love serving people. And so, yes, you know, culinary is my passion, but I really just love serving. So when people ask, like, what's my favorite dish or things like that, I seriously say, like, well, what's your favorite dish? And then me serving that to you and it meeting your standards, me seeing you smile, that's, now I've done my job. So
let's talk about Peace for You.
Okay.
How did that come about? Tell us a little bit about what it is and what you do. And I really want to know the story behind the name.
Okay.
So in whatever order you want to take those questions.
So it came about because, well, you know, just honestly, I seen where the industry was going when it comes to, like, I feel like we were heading to what we're at now of not a good balance of service and food. Either you get really great service and the food's kind of okay, or it's hard to get the balance of mm-hmm. it all. And then ultimately, too, I felt like my skills weren't being utilized in some of the job positions I had before. And so finally, I called my grandma and I said, hey, this is happening and maybe I should just seriously do this, you know, take it up full time or take it on my own and stuff like you always told me before, which I told her, I said, there's no way I would do that. I'm like, I'm bad at math. I don't think, once again, just, you know, downing myself or being insecure. Then she sits here and she's like, well, just try it. So I went ahead and I was like, yeah, I'm going to do this. So I'm writing out the business, I guess, plan. And I'm like, well, what should I name it? And she's like, well, it brings you peace. So how about Peace for You? So she named Peace for You.
So tell me a little bit about the start of that business. How did you get your first client?
So I was with the Evansville's Farmers Market. And, well, I actually have to shout out Dante. So my first commissary kitchen was Dante's Pizza on the South Side. So that's how I ended up getting the food permit and getting the legalities out the way. And he's just awesome. So definitely shout out to him because I wouldn't be this far if I didn't have that start. So then I got with the Evansville's Farmers Market and I offered like cornbread bowls. I did way too much. Cornbread bowls. I had salad. I had cupcakes. Just so much stuff. And from there, I got my first catering client, Mrs. Divine, to where they were renewing their wedding, their vows. Oh, yes, ma'am. And so she hired me, and they're up in Vincennes. And we've just been tight ever since. And I just thank her for the experience and trusting me with something like that. It was up to 300 people, buffet style. And so, yeah. And at that time, it was just me and one other person that knocked it out. So,
you didn't recruit other friends or help or anything like that? You just did the two of you?
Yes, just the two of us. Well, because, and also my experience, I'm used to cooking in quantity. But honestly, too, I didn't have people at that time to call. So, you know, that person was the only one at the time.
So you're catering, and you've got your first client, and you served upwards of 300 guests that. And then what happened?
From there, I still was working part-time, and then we had our birria bash, and that sold out and stuff at Dante's. People were calling as if it was actually my restaurant, and I was like, wow, this is really happening. So I had some months where it was only Peace for You. And then now I work part-time at the Potter's Wheel and stuff like that.
Let's talk a little bit about your community activism, because that certainly infuses and informs your work and your life, your take on life. You're involved with the TB Park Neighborhood Association.
Yes, ma'am.
For a period, you were considering even launching a not-for-profit and ultimately decided that wasn't the path that you wanted to follow. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about some of that?
Yes. So around 2017, I was diagnosed bipolar, and so in that time frame, I did a lot of studying and research on holistic ways of things. But also in that time frame between 2017 and about 2019, I had the time of living on the South Side, and so originally from the Southeast Side, I mean, would never imagine that Evansville really had a food desert like that. I never even heard the term food desert. And so, I mean, there was just a moment where, I mean, I didn't have a car anymore, you know, still single mom, everything like that. And at one point, I wanted to even be, like, a vegetarian or wanted to eat cleaner, and yet there's nothing around for me to eat. We have a 24-hour gas station that's all fried food. And then to the right, you have like Haney's Corner and bars and all that type of food. Nothing in the middle. So that's when I was like, okay. So I started doing more research, and I started seeing that, I mean, 9.7% were in food insecurities on that side of town. So for a single mom who doesn't have a car, and I'm trying to not continue the generational curse of diabetes and high blood pressure and things like that, I have to go take the bus, you know, to Schnucks, and just imagine carrying four bags all the way down to Lawndale, where the actual bus stop is.
Right.
I'm like, this isn't, you know, cool. Like, this isn't how it should be. Especially whenever you look up certain numbers that show in 2017, people were 35, this is our residents, that were 35% unhappy with access to food now. And I believe that was 2022. They did the survey again. We are now 57% unhappy with the access to food. So that's why, you know, I'm just heavy about that, especially in the mix of mental health, because we have our elderly, our vets, you know, people my age between 20 and 30 who's on different type of medication, but we can't even eat the type of stuff that the doctor is telling us to eat if you live on that side of town, that is. So,
and it's an access thing.
It's an access. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not, yes, because a lot of people would, well, is it finances? No, it's food insecurities is the access. We can't reach the resources because it's not available on that side, at least for now.
And what kind of solutions are you hoping to implement?
Well, I'm hoping to implement with the collaboration. See, I'm very bold, like, when it comes to, like, I wanted to launch a market, and then I took a step back, and I realized, why should this be something that a single mom and others take on when this is a city issue? Mm-hmm. There should be no reason that I take that on just for people to hope that it could fail. Because honestly, it's something that shouldn't exist in the first place. We shouldn't be in a food desert with everything we have, and Evansville's a great city. This just shouldn't even be a thing. And so I've taken a step back, and there's still more planning into it, but looking to make it a collaborative effort of other community leaders, because it's happening. People are already doing it. Henderson did it. Let's do it. Ease for everyone.
One of the things that I know is happening is there are a lot more neighborhood pop-ups and markets and so on going on, at least during the growing season.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the problem comes when the growing season ends.
Yes.
Oftentimes the access to those neighborhood markets, that mm-hmm. goes away. So I know there have been programs to bring, like the mobile bus.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's a start, but it's almost piecemeal. It's an ad hoc thing, that like a bridge to get mm-hmm. to the thing that you really want, which is a grocery store.
Right.
And access to all the things that neighborhoods that are not food deserts
right.
have.
Yes. Well, I will say, shout out to Urban Seeds. Maria Martin and I were leadership everyone. We were bunkmates. And so we had a long conversation. And now between them and Community One and TP Park, we were able to make TP Park Clubhouse a second distribution center for their Nourish program.
Nice.
So that is, literally already an online grocery store. They do accept EBT. So now we're just trying to help increase awareness, get the word out there. They're going to start back up, I believe, in March. But yeah, so that's the first solution, is that, hey, come to the clubhouse. You ordered it online. It's already paid for. And that's anywhere between local picks, meat, cheeses, all those things.
Yeah, it's a great program.
Yes, ma'am.
Nourishes, yes. We've kind of touched on this, but I'm going to ask you a little more directly.
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean to you to prepare food for other people?
It means that I can show my God-given talent with other people. I can share it with them. I can add peace in their life, even just for that moment, especially that we accommodate for vegan, vegetarian, and gluten-free. That was another thing that I'm adamant about, is that I don't want to put people in a box and only give them 2 to 3 options. Like, I believe that real peace in the hospitality is the carnivores and the vegans, have just the same amount of options. If they have 10, they should have 10 menu items. I am SurfSafe certified. I want people just to be secure, with what it is, because that's truly back to, culinary arts school, right? That's what we're supposed to do. Chefs and are the next step to a doctor. You have to trust us with the things you are putting inside of your bodies. And so I just, I take it pretty seriously.
Do you consider yourself an optimist?
Yes. Yes, I do. I consider myself an optimist. Because there's always a way. There's always a solution if we all come together.
The Baptist minister and civil rights activist, Howard Thurman, famous for saying, "Don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive and go do it."
Mm.
So if you had to say, what makes you come alive?
Going back to the question about the not-for-profit that I didn't start, LIFE, the acronym, came to me. It's Love Influences Future Endeavors. So love is positivity. Influences is the company that you keep. Future is time regarded as still to come, and endeavors is anything that you put energy towards expecting a positive outcome. And I said, put all those things together, you're bound to have a successful life. So it was just that sums up everything, like peace for you, the mental health, the activism stuff with food insecurities, that brings it all together for me.
I think that's a good motto for you personally, Roxanne. it fits.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. You've been working, I guess we could call you a private chef, and now, do I understand you're among the first businesses to use the new Bedford Collab commercial kitchen? Can we talk about what that transition will be like? Because I know you mentioned you were working at Dante's, but that's...
Uh-huh.
It's kind of piggybacking on somebody else's kitchen. And
definitely,
this is going to be a little bit different.
Yes.
So let's talk about that.
Okay, I am super excited for when Bedford Collab can will open, because it will no longer put a cap on what I can do, because private chef is only, you know, in home unless it's baked goods. I can't really do anything right now. So once they open, because my full service is private chef, meal prep, and catering.
Mm-hmm.
So once they open, it's going.
Yeah.
So.
Do you have a menu prepared?
Oh, yes.
Anticipating? You're ready to go as soon as you get the green light?
Yes.
As soon as they get the green light, too.
Right.
Yeah.
Definitely. And that's where I'm at with it, is that my mind keeps, I'm kind of like over creating right now. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm over here like, okay, I've came up with like 3 different dessert menus for just for February. And I'm like, listen, Roxanne, stick to like maybe 6, which is still probably too many, and stick with that. But we do already have our meal prep menu, which includes a green menu for just salads. We have a vegan meal prep menu, and then also our catering menu. I have like 6 different. I have a fusion, a soul, an Italian, and a seafood menu. So far, just to give, I guess, a sneak peek of that, that will already have its, here's its set and stuff. But we still offer the custom menu, $50 non-refundable fee, to where you tell me what your vision is for your event and I will make it come to life. So, mm-hmm.
Can people book you now, or are you in a period where you're still waiting?
They can book me now if it's, you know, if they just want baked goods, or if they want a private chef event. My first client is this week for a private chef meal prep, because she was just ready. Like, she was kind of, she was like, well, we could. So I talked with her, because I let her know at first I'm just waiting on Bedford Collab. And then I thought about it deeper after she emailed me again, and I was like, well, if she's down, we could just make it private chef style. Why not? And
in which case, you would work in her kitchen?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Knock it out in her kitchen. And she wants 14 meals at one time. Mm-hmm. So we're just doing like a trial run of only 2 meats this time, of chicken and salmon. So I actually just sent her menus this morning. But, yeah.
Mm.
So
that sounds good. How can people find you?
I am on Google. My information is on there under peace. That's peace of mind. The number 4 and a capital U. Yes, ma'am. If you push the website, however, it will still send you straight to Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
But all my other contact information is still just right there on Google.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
I asked if you might have a recipe or a kitchen technique that you could share with us. Could we end with that?
Sure. So I'll put my meatloaf out there. Mr. Brian of Fingers, Forks, Knives, and Spoons, he asked this a long time ago, so if he hears this, there you go. But so it's ground turkey. I don't have the actual measurements for it, but so it's ground turkey, just in your traditional style. I have 2 eggs, breadcrumbs, your onion. I don't use green pepper, but I'm not opposed to throwing it in there. And then you bake it. Your glaze is ketchup, barbecue sauce, and I still use onion powder and garlic powder in that. I don't know if I said brown sugar or not. And then a few other ingredients that I can't tell. So with the glaze, that is. But that was the basics for the meat,
okay,
the part of it. So
do you use just one kind of meat, or do you mix?
Ground turkey.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. And I feel like that's what has shocked people. And that's another part of peace for you, is that I'm trying to transition slowly. Like, not, I say I don't want to shock the people, but give them something healthier without taking away from any taste of the tradition.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah. When you prepare it, do you cook, saute the onions and or the green peppers before you put them in the meat, or do you put them in raw?
I guess it's up to the person. Lately, I've just been throwing them in raw, slice them, letting it do its thing, because most of the time, once I've been cooking it in quantity, so once it cooks down, it's all good anyways.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Yeah. Serve that with some mashed potatoes.
And, definitely.
Oh, yeah, maybe some green beans, and you're good to go.
Exactly. Yeah. Got to make our garlic yellow potatoes with it.
Yeah.
That's what we do, so.
Indeed.
Definitely.
All right. Roxanne, thank you so much for coming in and talking to me today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You can find out more about Bedford Collab on the February 12th and September 9th, 2024 episodes of Food From Here. Dante Hines now runs Dante's Highland Pizza Parlor on Cratsville Road in Evansville. Links for both are in the show notes. Next time on Food From Here, I talk about farmers markets with Tom Leggett, the market manager of the Franklin Street Bazaar. I hope you'll join me for that. Food From Here is produced at Tri-State Public Media in Evansville, Indiana, home of WNIN-FM and WNIN-PBS. I'm Peggy Pirro. Thanks for listening.